please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Come on, boiler room.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Oh, the wrong door.
Yeah, somehow the apes are back.
Honk, 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 honk.
I have a month's worth of beans.
Makes me want to ride an escalator at a mall.
All we ever do is mention things.
Right out of the box, I'm having fun.
Mad at a room.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to the program, episode 32, nope, 35. WWMAQ, Captain Wabbo, the Wabbo Line. Give us a call. 501 Rock, that's the loop. I would never for a million years would I remember the call in for WMAQ, Captain Wabbo, the Wabbo Line. Then there's WMET. Those were the classic rock stations I listened to growing up. Then the loop, WLUP, 979-501 Rock, 501 Roll. Give us a call. Two for Tuesday, Rock Block Weekend, all the shit that you like. We're going to play it right.
Oh, my God, they swore?
Here comes Zeppelin. They didn't, but we heard. We thought they did because they're, you know, they're DJs, man. They're different than us. You know, it's funny when you think about the DJs in the 70s, when you end up then seeing photographs of them, they're just fucking nerds. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, but they talk like, I'm Captain Wabbo! And then you meet Captain Wabbo, and he's my height. He's just a little guy. Hey, how you doing? I'm John. You might know me better as Captain Wabbo. Yeah. You know, when I do this, I'm Captain Wabbo. The Wabbo Line.
That's theater of the mind, Jimmy. Everyone thinks I'm 7 feet tall.
Nobody. Not one person thinks that. Not one person thinks you're tall.
I remember someone saying they met me at the show or something, and they said, oh, I pictured you looking like Brian Posehn. I was like, well, thank you.
Oh.
I could see that. I could see my voice in Brian Posehn's head. You know, like,
I'm not responding to any of this. I don't know how to respond.
You don't
to this.
Want to hurt either people's feelings?
All three. There's three people about the guy that said it, you and Brian Posehn. I don't want to say a word.
Okay.
It doesn't seem fit. It doesn't fit.
You could hurt that guy's feeling if you disagree with it.
The only person that comes out of this good is you. And I don't know if that's.
Well, then that sounds great. Let's hear it. No.
you know what I would say. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to have a written.
I think Brian Posehn's voice fits Brian Posehn perfectly.
I do too.
Let's say it that way.
He's a very funny man. Very. He acts a lot, but he should act more than he does.
I agree. He's lazy.
You think it is?
I'm kidding.
I don't know anything about him. You know, I've known Brian for 30 years. I think I've, we were on a plane once, so we talked. He was in here.
Yep.
We were at a Kiss concert by default together because of Brendan Smith and Ahmed Zappa. But, you know, we're in the same circles, but I don't know him at all.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
And his son's name is?
Oliver?
No. Named after a famous metal guitarist. Hard rock guitarist.
Oh, is it Zach Wilde?
It is not Zach Wilde.
I don't know.
It is Rhodes, named after Randy Rhodes.
Oh, I was going to say Ace.
No. He likes Kiss, but he's more of a, you know,
You know, it's weird. When I said Zach Wilde, I was picturing Randy Rhodes.
Well, Zach took over for Randy.
I was trying to think
decades
of,
later.
But yeah, I was trying to think of Randy Rhodes, and I said Zach Wilde.
Randy Rhodes is on the first two Ozzy solo albums. Basically saved Ozzy from real and career suicide, basically. Mm. So Randy Rhodes is the credit for why we have to hear Ozzy sing like shit today.
Burbank's own Randy Rhodes. His picture is up in the Raising Cane's. They decided to put a bunch of pictures of what they consider locals, including Debbie Reynolds, who I think lived there for a little while.
Okay.
Maybe Carrie Fisher. I think she was born in Burbank.
Mm.
Randy Rhodes. Those are the three. Right. Oh, and well, I think Ron Howard lived in Burbank for a while when he was.
What about Bob Hope?
Child actor.
I mean, that's Toluca Lake. But
he's on the L.A. side of Toluca Lake, I believe.
Oh, okay.
As a divider there somewhere. I forget which street it is.
But he used to say Burbank when he would go on talk shows. He would say, John, I live right here in Burbank.
Yeah. I mean, it's a stone's throw from that studio, so it makes sense he would say that or think that. But
he would drive his golf cart over there, from what I understand.
Makes sense.
How great. We've talked about it before, but how great would it have been to live here during those times where you're just driving down the street and then here comes Bob Hope next to you in his golf cart.
Right.
Just running an errand.
Yeah. But in,
I'll tell you, it would be wild.
In 50 years, people might say, how great would it have been to live in Burbank when Jay Leno was driving his cars around, which I see constantly, and I don't think it's great at all. I resent it.
Jay Leno is not Bob Hope.
But to 50 years from now, some people might feel that way. Maybe they won't.
They will not.
I feel like you're more surprised by what Jay Leno is driving than by actually.
Oh, I mean, yeah. And that may be
a 10-wheeled go-kart floating around in Burbank.
That may be by design, now that I think about it. Like, he's, like, he doesn't, he's not the story when you see him, because it's always like, holy shit, I just saw a Bugatti that's worth $500,000, yeah, and it's Jay Leno's driving it.
Bugatti, I believe, is no longer welcome in this country. I believe that our president has told them the Bugatti is not allowed.
Okay.
It's just a fun word to say. Hey, we got here early, and Ellie and I walked over to 7-Eleven, and I said to Garen Cockrell, Garen, would you like me to get you something? And Garen said, yeah, just get me a Diet Dr. Pepper. So I made a beeline for what, Elliot?
Some form of Diet Mountain Dew.
Went right to the Diet.
Wow. That's the drink of my people.
And then and closed the cooler. And
you were decided.
Proudly walking to the register when Elliot said, I think you might have said Dr. Pepper. And I was like, oh, yeah. What did I grab?
Not the right color.
Literally,
not the right name.
Drink two different things here. An iced tea or a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I know. But I went to get you a Diet Mountain Dew because I swore to God that's what you said.
I've never known him to drink it. Although I will
say,
in my mind, the Mountain Dew is the Dr. Pepper of lemon lime drinks.
Sure.
Yes, but he's not.
He doesn't. He's not interested.
He doesn't
in it.
Drink it.
I was trying to understand your.
Like, there's nothing to understand. I'm a fucking idiot.
But my brain would probably do the same thing. Not necessarily, but like I could see. I wouldn't grab him a 7-Up. I would grab him.
No, you know what you grab him? The Diet Dr. Pepper that he asked for 3 minutes earlier.
Yeah, I know that to be his drink. And that just reminded me, by the way, that this is now, I think, the third day I've forgotten to bring in the Shirley Temple 7-Up.
You are to bring in for a taste test.
I will try to remember next week.
And we also wanted to do the Post Malone Oreo taste testing.
I'm not sure those are available yet.
Well, they will be. When they are, we will taste test them.
Yes.
Did you like me calling that back a few weeks ago when you came to Flappers? And the waiter has some tattoos, so I decided to call him Post Malone.
Yeah. I did like that.
And then I shortened it up to Post. I just ended up calling him Post.
Yeah.
That's fun. It got a big laugh. The kids laughed. The kids loved me calling him Post Malone.
Mm-hmm.
The kids loved it. Why wouldn't they? They're watching a hero at work. Welcome to the program, everybody, on a Thursday here, in February. Valentine's Day right around the corner. Matt, we've been doing this show a long time, but I forget the answer to this. Danielle and I don't really do anything for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You know, we love each other. We might go to dinner.
Right.
You know, but, you know, we don't need to go. Yeah, maybe a card. Mm-hmm. Maybe some flowers.
Yeah.
You know, we go all out.
take a trip. We fly down to Cabo.
But we really don't. I know some couples go bananas for it.
Yeah.
But we know.
Right. When you know, you know.
But what do you get? You guys go to dinner? You do that?
We usually go to dinner. We might exchange a gift. I don't like flowers. I don't know that. I guess she at least likes flowers. She doesn't love them. I actively don't like them.
You don't like flowers.
I feel like they make me sneeze when they're in the house.
I cannot have them in the house.
So that's right off the bat. I'm like, this is going to be, you know, not great for me. And she doesn't, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she's like, no, all I ever wanted was flowers, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't care. So I might get her something else. Something nice.
Admittedly, when Danielle worked in an office when she was writing for various television shows, if it was Valentine, I would send the flowers there for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because A, then they're not in the house.
Yep.
And B, that's kind of what it's supposed to like. Oh,
I'm thinking of you.
Look what my husband did.
Yeah.
Look what my boyfriend did.
You're showing off. You're trying to make everyone else jealous of her.
They've got their own flowers. Everybody. I also didn't want her not to be the only one. Everybody else gets flowers and she doesn't.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Flowers are, I think women do like them, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I think that they are, they're unnecessarily expensive.
Mm-hmm. And, especially on that day.
Oh, that's
right. They bump it up. Mm-hmm. Mother's Day is another one. They bump them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't really like, there's the thing that I sometimes do is, I mean, I'm sure like you're wandering around a store or something and you know that like a couple months from now, there's going to be some event like a birthday or whatever. And you see something, oh, that's a great thing. I'll get that.
Yes.
You cannot do that with flowers. because they will be dead.
True.
By the time.
Oh, you could get a potted flower.
But then you got to, what, hide it in a closet, put it on a balcony behind a screen?
Maybe you give it to a friend for a week.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You could do that. Actually,
it's getting very convoluted.
No, you know what you do is you find a friend who has a home. You know, I'm in an apartment. Yeah. Like, I guess theoretically, I could figure out how to do this.
I have a home.
And then I say, hey, I'm going to buy a rose bush. I would like you to plant it in your garden. Yeah. And I'm going to come and harvest flowers whenever I need them. I will buy you a water can.
You can't control when they bloom, though. Like our old house had a rose bush in front.
I mean, it would require some additional planning. Like, okay, so if it's a perennial or if it's a seasonal flower, then you have to have the right kind. So there's probably, you know what, I'll come to your house, I'll figure out how much space there is, I'll plant like six or seven different flowers.
You know, Jimmy lives a lot closer. I think maybe...
Oh, that's a good idea, Jimmy. You need some flowers in front of your house.
Well, here's the thing. We do have three rose bushes, and to Matt's point, you never know when they're going to... Like, I can go home tomorrow, I'll probably go after this show.
Sure.
I'm probably not going to hang out here for...
You're not sleeping under the table.
I'm probably not going to. It doesn't make any sense. I can go home and it can be full bloom or nothing.
Yeah.
And it can be nothing for months, and then they're there for 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, Jimmy. Here's what I'll do.
I don't want you at my house.
No, I'll plant the flowers there. I will water them and fertilize them. I assume you have a gardener of some sort, though. I can coordinate with him or her.
Good luck doing that, by the way.
Thank you for including.
There you go.
I will tell you, it's a man.
Okay, very good. And you know, I'll figure out which ones should come out around Valentine's Day. I mean, obviously this year it's too late, but for next year,
is it based on when you plant them? Because you could stagger plantings so that there's bound to be something blooming.
I kill plants, so I don't know the answer to that question. But I would.
Is that your slogan, by the way?
I kill plants. Yeah. I would suggest that there are some plants that it's the season, so it depends on the weather. And then maybe there are some where you plant the seed and then it flowers like as soon as it gets old enough, because they can grow any time of the year. But that's as much as I know.
Play ball, right, Jimmy?
Nope.
Wow.
I'm not going to yes and that bit.
These are the opinions of Matthew J. Belknap.
That's right. That's my Earth 616 alter ego.
I want to be very clear. I'm on board with the joke. I'm just not yes-anding it. I like any envelope pushing. I'm on board for envelope pushing.
So that's what we're doing.
Or ironic.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, comedy. At any rate, Elliot's not welcome to my home.
I'm not going to go inside, Jimmy. I'm just going to tromp around on your grass.
You know what? Come over. You know what? Trim that shit up. I don't give a shit. Do it up. My gardeners, I offer them beverages. It's two guys. They come. They hit all the houses in the neighborhood or whatever. And I always offer them a drink. You know, hey, you guys on a hot day, you guys want a couple of sodas? You want this? And then I say I've got Coke Zero. I've got caffeine free Diet Coke. I've got Diet Coke. I've also got some Monster drink, or I got water. And the response to all that is, yeah. And I don't know what, so I bring out two different things and go, here you go. They are over the moon about it. And then I see them next week.
Yeah. So they don't probably want any of that, honestly. Cause when you were rattling that off, I'm like, none of this sounds like something I would want if I was just at a house doing like, give me a Coke or give me a solid real thing.
Diet Coke.
That's diet. No one wants diet.
You don't drink. Everybody wants diet. We live in Los Angeles.
Not these guys. No, these are real salt of the earth guys.
Well, they're not getting Coke.
They're not fucking around with diet soda.
I will tell you this, that after the Lotta Latkes, where we do buy Coke, because some people do drink Coke, they're getting Coke.
Good.
And I'm not even offering. You guys want to come? It's not a menu. It's like, you guys want a couple of Cokes?
Yeah.
And then it's the same answer. Yeah.
Yep.
And then I bring it out to them, and they're so excited about it.
Do you want any Cokes? And I don't mean that in the Southern sense, where they just say Coke to mean soda.
No.
Just crazy. Well, don't they hear themselves? How stupid they sound?
Yes, they do. You hear that Mitch McConnell and that Kennedy.
It's crazy that they do that.
They're Southern. Who are Coca-Cola? We say, hey, that Kennedy guy. God, who elects that guy? Who goes into the booth, the voting booth, and goes, that's my guy? That guy's literally just a walking puddle.
They don't pay attention. He's nothing. To what he says or does. They just see it. They go Republican.
They see the R. That's
give me
it.
That. Give me that guy.
Right. Give me that R. Right, Garen? Pirate.
Yeah.
What do you think about Pirate Day? You like that? Do you think that's a fun day, or do you think it's a waste of my time? I don't ever want to hear DJ mention it again.
Well, I got my fill of it when I worked for Disney on their Pirates of the Caribbean game. So when Talks Like a Pirate Day came around.
Oh, boy.
That was all I needed. I was done. I don't know why. I don't know where this is going.
Wait a minute. Is any of that true?
Yeah. I used to work at, I worked on their Pirates of the Caribbean online game.
Did we know this?
Yeah, it was one of your tech support jobs.
Okay. So we
did. But I had to go in game as like as a pirate character, which was fun.
So you're like a cast member at Disneyland, only it's 100%. On your computer.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had to put a little kerchief and an eye patch on to be on online?
It's like an avatar, like a little character. One of them was a ghost, so I could turn into a ghost and scare people. That was actually kind of fun. That game had some crazy fans. Like, one girl sent us a picture of her tramp stamp that was her character from Pirates of the Caribbean. An adult woman.
Gulp.
Playing Pirates of the Caribbean online.
I'm listening.
Tramp stamp.
You got that saved?
No. No.
What would it be? What was the tramp stamp? What was the avatar? Was it that ghost you talked about?
No. It was like a little... I think it was just part of the body of it, and it just said something like yo ho ho or something like that, I think.
Bottle of rum, huh?
Yeah, a couple of them.
You like rum, Gary?
Do I like rum? No.
Right from Michigan? Doesn't warm you? Doesn't warm your tummy on a cold day?
I'm not a big drinker. I don't really. Like, okay. I don't even know what to order when I go to a bar. I'm like, pick me something. Just give me something and I'll try it.
I think that's why I drink beer all the time. I always was overwhelmed by I wouldn't know what to order. Like,
I don't know how to behave in a bar. I don't know what the etiquette is. I don't know what's good, what's bad, what's well, what's not.
Right.
I'm going to say our guest is early.
All right. Well, she can wait in the kitchen like all guests do. Bring out Garen. Introduce yourself. Reminder, you're Garen Cockrell. You're Mr. Pardo's assistant. Have her fill out the paperwork and then tell her just to sit comfortably on one of those metal stools.
There used to be a wooden one with a back, and that one disappeared.
Yeah, what happened to that one?
I don't know. It was the wrong height.
I'm gonna guess it broke.
Yeah,
was it the wrong height? It was too low.
It's too tall.
Too high. I've just been told. I don't remember it at all. I do remember it.
Am I crazy, or wasn't there?
It sounds familiar.
It was there before the two metal ones were. Maybe the two metal ones replaced them.
Maybe.
I mean, occasionally I'll sit in there and eat my hot dog so I don't muddy up this room. But nope, it's not a lunch room.
No, it's not a pleasant place to be.
No, it's awkwardly in view of everybody else that works here in the office complex. Right. They could walk past and see you eating your lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's nice that it's there, but.
I had a follow-up question for Garen, but then he had to leave, so now I'm adrift.
You don't know what to do?
I don't know what to do with myself. I guess I could listen to you guys, but...
I could tell you, my wife and I, we recently bumped up to a king-size mattress. We finally did it.
Oh, nice. How's that going?
Here's what happened. So we, you know, there's currently no promos for mattresses for us.
Right. We're not doing any of those at the moment.
And we needed to go to a whatever, on and on. So we went to a local, you know, mattress store. We had many and tested them out. They all have the same prices because, you know, the mattress company set the prices.
Yeah.
And then even if it's a Memorial Day sale or Labor Day, President's Day sale, they all get the same. Anyway. So basically, we went around town to different places for no reason whatsoever because they all have the same prices.
Yeah.
And so we ended up buying one that I laid on it, you know, tested it out. Man, this is comfortable. This is great. This is comfortable. This is great. And then it arrived, and it was very hard as a rock.
Nowhere
near as comfortable as it was in the showroom.
Interesting.
So let's pretend that it arrived on a Friday, and then we slept on a Friday night. And then Saturday, I said, you know what? Yes, they have the 120-day trial period, and they require you to wait 30 days.
Oh.
Mm. They require, because they all have the same feel. Like a pair of shoes, it takes a little time to break it in. So we ask is that you wait 30 days before you come in here to say that you want to exchange it. And I was like, I go, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me.
Of course not.
So I'm going to go in the next day.
Yeah.
Now, here's the truth. I went in the next day because I wanted to see, did we get the right mattress?
That's fair.
Because this is not at all what we laid on in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Did they send us the wrong mattress? Did we mistakenly say, give us this one, and we meant this one.
Right.
Like, what? So that was my, so I went there, and the guy who helped us was not there, but another fella can help us. And they say, you know, so-and-so's not here, but I'll make him, Alex can help you. And so it's like, oh, okay. You know, I thought, boom, 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 the information. And then he goes, which one? I go, well, it's that one there. And then he's like, okay, I go, I just want to lay on. I just want to make sure it's the right one. I go, yeah, I go, man, this is comfortable. I go, this is not what was sent to my house. I go, and he goes, well, you know, it takes a little time. I go, I'm telling you, there's something different because this one, ours has a tight top and not a pillow. And I said, we didn't get the pillow top, but we also didn't get the tight top. It was in between. He goes, no, this is the one you got, sir. It takes a little time for that. I go, there's no way. He goes, well, this has been, you know, these have been on the floor for over a year. I go, well, do you think that's fair? That you have a bed out here that has been broken in for a year, and you want me to then be comfortable night one of me at home? Well, no, sir. That's why we give you 30 days and blah, 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 blah. And then I said, well, I had the worst night. And I said, and you guys have seen this. Mr. Pardo doesn't know how to use the governor.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I said, well, I had the worst night of my worst sleep of my life last night. I go, I slept on the floor. It was more comfortable. And he's like, I'm very sorry, sir. I go, you know, there's a customer service number you can call. You know, we certainly don't want you to be in pain. Maybe they can make an exception if it is a health issue. But usually we do ask that you wait that 30 days because I'm telling you, you'll see if it's broken in. If it's not, we're happy to exchange it then. And I said, what I'm really leaning towards is just returning it at this point. And he goes, well, you know, we don't do any returns. I go, so you're like a car dealership. So I'm just fucked.
Oh, no.
Oh boy.
Oh. And he goes, well, I don't know if I would use those words, sir. But
good for him.
And then what happens? I need to apologize for the language. And now I'm humiliated. I'm embarrassed.
Oh,
the whole store heard me.
Mm-hmm.
They all have a nice day when I leave. Fucking horrible. That's where it's at.
Oh, I was.
So you've still got the mattress.
Still have the mattress. I did buy a mattress topper.
Yeah.
Which I find to be a strange thing to have to purchase when you already have purchased, when you've spent X amount of money on a mattress.
Yeah, right.
Why do I need to spend more money? They are not cheap. Why do I need to spend more money to be comfortable?
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems weird. So as I left, I went, I'll see you on day 31.
Oh, wow. So you apologized and then went back to being the asshole.
And then walked around and then talked myself out of going back in to apologize again.
Because,
you know, that's always, you know, I throw the club and then I apologize. Yeah, I throw the shoes and then I apologize. Yeah. This was, I go, I can't. And then Danielle, so we sleep on it a couple of nights and it's like, you know what? It's not great yet, but maybe, you know, I'm going to go. And then, so the guy who helped me is supposed to be in today.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle goes, how'd you sleep? And I said, I go, better than it was, and she goes, you're not going in there today. I go, I'm not going back to Culver City ever again. I can't risk seeing these people on the street. Are you kidding me? I go, you better like this mattress.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I was humiliated. I just, and we have a mutual friend who acts that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about how he acts that way and how ridiculous it is that he acts that way. Mm-hmm. And then the second the opportunity is there, I acted that way. And it infuriated me. It's like, I'm no better than that guy that we talk about. Like, why does he act that way?
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Hmm.
So, in fairness to me, I didn't have a good night of sleep.
Even after you put the topper on it?
No, it's gotten better. But okay. I'm saying when I yelled at him.
Yeah.
I had not had a good night of sleep.
Gotcha.
Wasn't good.
Hmm.
So
the question I have is this.
Yeah.
Is this something you want to solve? Or if you solve this quirk of your character, does it ruin this show?
Yeah. I think it ruins the show. I think it's what makes me fun.
I would beg to differ only because I feel like you have maybe one of these stories a year, honestly. Like, I know you feel like it happens a lot, but like going through my mind.
So wait, what part are you begging to differ? You're saying it changes the show.
I'm saying it doesn't really change the show.
If I improve myself.
If you improve yourself, because you really only get into these pickles very occasionally.
I'll say this.
It's funny to listen to, but it doesn't happen every week. It happens once a year.
So my point is, I'm saying there's no point in fixing it because it doesn't happen. It happens so infrequently.
That's another way of looking at it.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
My point is, the entire show does not hinge on you constantly having these experiences.
No, I'm not Larry David.
Yeah,
right. It's it happens just enough to bring the story in.
Yeah,
it
happens just enough to bring a smile to my face.
Right. Not on my face though. The way my back is acting up for this goddamn mattress.
Oh boy.
It doesn't have that sink. It doesn't have that bounce of that.
Oh, one
that we used to. Was that Casper?
That was Casper.
Then we also had who? We had
Purple.
We had Purple.
Which I love.
That's your purple.
That's what I have.
Well, the Purples, here's what's happened with the Purples. They now take themselves seriously, and their prices are bananas.
Oh. So they got it. They got everybody in. Like, as a newcomer, they were like, let's make it affordable. And then once they built up the reputation of being very good mattresses, they're like, great, we don't need to sell it a lot.
I'm sure that they've probably added some features
they've got the different levels.
Yeah,
but they have as all mattress stores will tell you, the most expensive mattress in the store is a Purple, and it's $10,000.
What? Is it really almost as much as that?
That's outrageous. Wow.
Yeah, for a king size, it's like $9,600 or something.
Code Pardo, save $10.
Wow, that is shocking to me.
That's a lot of.
I mean, imagine spending that.
But if you think about it, you're going to have the mattress for 10 years. That's only $1,000 a year, and you got to sleep every day. It's a third of your life.
I do rationalize spending the money on a mattress for that reason. Like, you do use it every day. Yeah. It is something that's important.
But
so you don't want to go cheap. You want to spend some money, but mm-hmm. $10,000.
But also, money doesn't necessarily make it comfortable to you. Like,
it's
more important to find the right one for you.
Yeah.
Speaking of former show sponsors. Here's a fun story about how dumb I am. I think I mentioned on a past episode that I got Elise a U-turn turntable for Christmas.
You did mention that.
Yeah, very much enjoying it. Just like you did, I'm loving music again. This is really more a gift for me, I think. No, she's definitely enjoying it too, but it's for the whole family. But last night,
whatever you need to say,
everyone's enjoying it. Last night I went to put on the vinyl of Taylor Swift, Red, Taylor's version. Dropped that side A, disc one side A on the platter. Turn it on. Song starts. State of Grace, I believe, is the first track. Doesn't sound right to me. This is wrong. It's too slow. And I was like, wait, is this a... Is this record supposed to be played at 45 instead of 33? That's crazy. It's a multi-disc LP. Elise looks it up online because she's sitting right there. She's like, yeah, for some reason, this particular release, they made it to play at 45.
Really?
And so I'm looking at the thing and I'm like, well, here's the thing. This fucking record player doesn't have the switch that to make it different speeds. And I look in the manual, I'm like, it says like on certain models use the automatic switch to go for, I'm like, well, mine doesn't have that fucking switch. What the fuck did I pay for here? I can't believe this fucking record player only plays at 33. You gotta be fucking kidding me. These fucking people, how dare they market this as their this is the model they tell you. This is the one. Everyone, this is the most popular thing on the, everybody gets it. It's great. It's Wirecutter called it the best and all the bull. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't believe I can't listen to this record. And it's not just this one. It's like, I can't listen to 45s. I'm like, the fucking record, the player came with the thing. It said on the thing, it comes with the little disc to play 45s. I'm like, why did it come with the disc if it can't play the 45s,
Jimmy?
Doesn't
make sense, man.
Why can't I play these fucking records at 45 RPMs?
Oh, but you discovered.
Oh, it turns out you just move the belt from one thing to another. That's all you do. It's just the difference between being manual and what they call electric or electronic.
Yeah,
it's just a simple matter of the belt drive record has the wheel, the thing that the belt attaches to go to the platter has two different size things on it. You just go loop and I'm all set.
That's it.
But I have to tell you, as dumb as I am, I've never felt more relief, and I couldn't believe how great I felt when I figured out that it wasn't the guy. I was like, I'm gonna have to fucking send this thing back. Like, I can't have this record player, even though I don't think there's any other record in my house that needs to be played at 45.
And you're also not gonna be playing 45s.
No, I'm never gonna play a 45.
You're at a bar with a jukebox.
No, why would I have a 45? But I was like, but let's go back to the main thing. Why did they make this record play at 45? I think it must have just been the number. It's three discs, by the way.
That's why.
So it was the number of discs.
Cram in the number of.
They were like,
it's a faster speed, so you get more music on the same disc.
Yeah.
So not to make it not four, I guess. Is that it?
Then you know what I do? I make it four.
Yeah.
Isn't it four?
Maybe it's four. I can't remember. Wait,
it says record holds less music per side, so pressing red, Taylor's version at 45, might have helped stretch the 30-song set out.
Oh, that's right. Slower is more.
That's what I thought. It was like they actually were trying to stretch it to fill out. I mean, I guess it
goes around.
Yeah.
Vulture literally has an article, How to Play Red Taylor's Version Vinyl Records at 45 RPM.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you either...
You adjust it manually or automatically.
Yeah, but either way, you can either do it or you can't. I mean, that's the question. Is there a record player out there that does not play at 45?
I would imagine, yes.
And that's crazy, too, but not that... Like, it's not so crazy that I can't imagine it. It's just...
Well, there aren't 45s anymore. There's really no no reason for them to...
Yeah, but...
This vinyl revolution that's happening is...
It's all 33.
It's 33 to 30.
Yes. But at the same time, like, yes, you've got young people who are discovering vinyl and what have you, but, like, the vast majority of records that you're going to find probably are singles that somebody has, the ones that survive, because the bigger ones, it's easier to break them and it's harder to store them.
But they pressed a zillion.
I don't know if I go along with that.
All right. I thought it sounded good in my head.
I think the 45s were the first thing to hit the dumpster.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you go to Amoeba, they have them, but they're just there, man.
I saw a guy last time I went there with a huge collection of 45s, and they were just going blip, 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 blip. I don't even know if you got anything for them or not,
right,
but they were just going.
I mean, they cost a dollar when they were something.
Right. Yeah.
And now they've collected dust and they've been, you know, scratched and they've been in a garage forever. Unless it's a, holy shit, you've got this Beatles release. They're worthless.
And yeah. I went to Amoeba with my collection finally. Collection, I think you shouldn't put too much stress on that word. And they looked, I did manage to get $38 for like four things because there were only four things in the like 60 CDs and whatever that I had that they thought were worth anything.
Did they give you the rest back?
Yes.
Yeah. Go right ahead. I've carried them here.
I donated them instead because I figured nobody, if Amoeba's not going to take it, I'm not going to go to the, I went to Amoeba and I told you I went to the place that's near us here and they took everything that was of value and then the rest was done.
All right.
There's zero rhyme or reason to what they take and what they don't take. I feel like it's if you got to get the right guy on the right day,
really,
in the right mood. I've taken similar groups of things and gotten wildly different results from them.
Yeah, one guy could think this particular, oh, you know what? We will sell a second one of these.
Yeah.
Whereas another guy will go, we've already got one of these. We don't need a second one. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, the guy that I went to, it seemed pretty clear. He was the sort of, you know, go through the barcodes. And just see.
Oh, he's doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So nice. I figured
that's what I would think, that they would be checking it and they would know. They would have a way of knowing for sure.
They Santa Claus it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The local place over here was very subjective, but Amoeba wasn't.
I always assumed that there must be people who collect 45s, right?
There's those guys.
But like that's the general thing is, why would you want to have a thing that you put it on, it plays 3 minutes and then you have to flip it over, plays another 3 minutes and then you're done? Like, no one wants
it. It was the perfect thing when you were in grade school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you played it, you know, to play the hit.
Right.
You're able to buy the hit at the time, but when I was at 49 cents.
Yeah.
You buy it. You get to listen to your hit over and over and over.
Yeah.
You flip it over. You listen to that B-side. You try to convince yourself you like that as well.
We do have, after we discovered this, there was also, we had a 7-inch EP from Boy Genius that was also 45. So it's not that, I guess it's not completely unheard of these days, but it's just strange.
Yeah.
Just stretch it out, I guess. I say put more songs on there and make it 33.
There's a lot of other options besides the 45. I have that red. It turns out that I probably have never played it.
Yeah.
Never played it. That's my guess.
I think you'd like that album. Well, this is the thing that goes through my mind a lot, and I know like people don't want Taylor Swift talk, but I feel like there's country stuff that I was like, man, this is, Jimmy would love this song. It's like a heartbreak country song. And what's so paradoxical is that the Taylor Swift songs you like are not that. They're like the more pop modern, like Midnights, which is the opposite.
No, that's not true. Evermore and Folklore are the two albums that I like the most.
Oh, okay. I thought Midnights was your favorite.
No.
Well, you
liked it because it was the one that had come out. And I was listening to it to get current.
Okay, gotcha.
And I listened to Red quite a bit. I listened to it on CD.
Yeah,
I have it on vinyl and CD because that's the album that I have autographed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friend Taylor was nice enough to autograph that album for me, so I have that.
Sure.
But I listened to, even though I have the turntable right there, I'm going to use your logic about the 45. If I'm at the computer working, I don't want to walk the 1 foot over to the turntable and turn over the record.
Yeah.
The CD will just play for me.
Yeah, I get it.
And I will say this, as much as I like the vinyl, the CDs do sound better.
They do. They do. It's just, I mean, it's definitely different. I was listening to the Beastie Boys on vinyl, and I was like, this kind of sounds shitty, actually. But I guess it's because I'm so used to hearing it, like CD or digital, mm-hmm. or whatever. It's just a different experience. But the thing I will defend, and I think you've said this and many people have said this, is just like the sound of that music played that way is more nostalgic.
It is all. I prefer to listen to, just as an example, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I'd prefer on vinyl.
Yeah.
Because that's what I listened to as a kid.
Yeah.
And that's classic rock should be on vinyl.
Right. It's like seeing a movie projected in 35 millimeter versus just watching like a, you know, what everything in theaters now is just being a digital projection.
That's why I watch everything on Filmstrip. all right. Jackie Cation's here. Let's take a break. I've got the drama movie with W. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, gang, Matt here with some dates for you. Jackie Cation's on Instagram, everywhere, I think, on social media, except TikTok. She's dropped it. But at Jackie Cation is where to find her. And you should go find her there, and that's where you'll find her dates, because she's on the road a lot. She's doing stand-up all over the place. You should go see her. She's one of the best in the business. You know that from listening to us tell you that all the time. Also, she opens for Maria Bamford, who's fantastic as well. So if you get to see them together, what a night, what a show. You're a lucky person. So do that, and then check out Jimmy Pardo. He's going to be at Zanies in Rosemont, the Chicagoland area, on the 16th of April. He's going to the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, the next night. That's the 17th of April. And then the 18th, he's at the Jukebox in Peoria, Illinois. All his dates and deets are at jimmypardo.com. Click the tour link, and you'll find ways to get tickets there. Don't forget, new season of Never Not Funny, new year is starting, so that means new perks for 2025. We've got the tote bag for Tier 2. We've got the tote bag and the yearbook, the new yearbook. All new pictures, all new little scribbles from the guests. Really fun stuff. That's at Tier 3, and you can now go online if you're continuing your subscription, or if you're adding it, if you're jumping in, you can put in your info to receive those perks right there on the website in the premium section. So do that and enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, 35 WWMAQ. That's not what I said earlier. Mm-hmm. I said
M-E-T?
M-E-T? No, I did say the Whammo line. That would be W.
You did.
Did I say M-A-Q?
Well, then you said a lot of things.
I will tell you that was not Captain Whammo was not on MAQ. MAQ was a country station. So what are we doing here today, Nicholas?
35W is a highway in Minneapolis.
Oh.
35W. That's what I thought you were talking
about. We're
not
talking highways, Jackie.
You were talking highways or bridges? No?
Okay. No, not certainly not that bridge that you guys can't shut about how you built it in a day and a half.
Day and a half. Rome was built in a day and a half.
That Amy Klobuchar, who I voted for in the primary, full disclosure, back in 2020.
Sure.
I think she's dynamite, but man, she likes to talk about how quickly that bridge was rebuilt.
Well, you know, you got to rest on your laurels.
You
got to do what you can. You're a swirling mass of nonsense around you now, so you're like, but remember the bridge?
Yeah, she's a good person. I think she's one of the good ones.
Yeah, yeah. Andy Ashcraft says that Jimmy Pardo, a good egg. Tell him I told him.
Is that what Andy says, double
that's
A?
That's it. Yep. He thought he'd say hello. He says hello to all of you.
Yeah, that's nice. You say hello back.
Sure. All right.
All right. And if I'm not mistaken, a couple weeks ago we had a birthday. Is that not the case?
His birthday is this. It's coming up. It's a couple weeks ago. Every year.
He's got it every year?
Every year. It's ever since, I think 67? Yeah. So
we were talking about this before your arrival, Matt and I. That is, you've been with Andy for a while. Is Valentine's Day a thing?
We have a card that we bought in 2006 that we just give back and forth.
Love it.
And it's nice. My turn. And the years that it's my turn, I'm like, where did I put
Where's it? At?
Where did I put it? Do you know why? Because he's romantic. I'm not.
You're not.
No, I mean to be. Fail. I mean, I think of him. Here's what I like to say about Andy Ashcraft. I like him. I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to love people, I say. It's harder to like them. When I was a kid, we were told that you had to love everybody. Here's the loophole. We're also told I had to like anybody. So I kind of value liking people more. I love everyone. I don't like all of. No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There was a friend's parents said to me once that they were together, but they should not have been.
Okay.
And the mother said about the father, oh, no, he loves me. He just doesn't like me anymore.
Oh, wow.
And it's like,
yeah.
And I think I was maybe 14 when she said it. So that's always rung true to me. Like, oh, yeah, there is a difference. You could love, I could love a family member. I don't like that family member.
No,
I'm talking about a distant cousin at the moment.
Right.
There's a specific person. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, and I don't even know why I love them. I don't really know them. But it, as family, you're supposed to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so like, oh, love you too. But I don't like this person.
No, no. Push came to shove. Wouldn't, there's people I wouldn't hang out with.
It's, right.
And yet there they are.
Yeah.
They got my phone number and everything. And so I get a text message and I'm like, yep.
Do they, these people that you don't care for, these loved ones, do they come and see you live when you're in their town? And is that comfortable or uncomfortable?
They do not.
They don't.
Almost no one comes to see me live in my family. But certain members of my family apologize, at which point I always have to say, it's not a Little League game. I don't care.
Okay.
The audience will still be there.
Right.
I'm not.
For them. Like,
right.
If you want to enjoy comedy, come on down.
More than one of my siblings, almost all of them have said to me, you know, I don't really like stand-up comedy.
Okay.
And then I got to say back, I don't really like whatever money laundering that you do. So that's fine by me. And yeah, because I mean, the thing is like my dad never came to my Little League games. That would have been more important.
Yeah.
And then so since then, I'm good. It's though I will say that when my dad used to come to the shows, it was hilarious because he would would go out for coffee. And he would give me 45 minutes of notes.
Oh, Jesus.
And were your notes sometimes okay?
They were always of value. They were not well received always. I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, you're not wrong. Like one time, and it was always so weird. Remember painter's hats? You will. The painter's cap.
No, I remember. I wore them.
Right. They're sort of a cardboard paper nonsense that would have like an ad on them. Like, you know, Jerry's Deli or whatever would be written and it would have cost 11 cents to make a million of them. And my dad was like, you should get in the 90s, get painter's hats and throw them into the audience. And I was like, you're out of your mind. I'm not throwing anything into the audience. I'm not giving anything away for free. And moments later, I was giving away buttons.
Oh.
Or stickers or some damn thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, he's usually right.
Mm-hmm.
It's genuinely irritating. But like for decades, he's been telling me to slow down, like to talk.
Can
less.
I give you that note?
Jimmy Brogan likes to give it to me every time he sees me. And every time I'm like, unsolicited, Jimmy Brogan.
Did you say that to him?
Yeah, every time.
Do you tell Jimmy, why don't you pick it up? Jimmy's a very slow, comfortable talker.
Oh,
I don't mean that
talker.
Negatively, but he's
a slow talker. Yeah, yeah. You're like, you only have 10 minutes. I only have 10 minutes. I have 20 minutes of jokes to tell. You have 4. So do whatever you want. And like you said, Jimmy, he's a delight to watch because you're like, where are you from, Jimmy? Oh, I know. It's Al Lubell. It's the same, you know, where you're just like, there's several comics you'll see in the last 40 years where you're like, no, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
And so very funny.
He's a nice man.
Oh, my God.
He's
so
a nice,
nice
man. Likes to give notes.
So much notes. And loves to also, the first note he ever gave me is I came off stage at the Improv and we didn't know each other. We did not know each other.
You're on stage doing stand-up comedy. You walk off. Here's Jimmy Brogan, who you don't know.
Right.
Walks up to you.
And says, you know, can I give you a little bit of advice? And I believe, and this was, what, 20 years ago, I said, no. did not pay attention. And he said, anyway, I wouldn't swear if I were you.
Why, Jim?
Well, I don't think ladies swear in his world. And I also don't think that he finds that he's one of those guys who's like, if you swear, you haven't looked for the right word.
Yeah.
Again, he's not wrong. Or no, the person who said that initially wasn't wrong. Guess what? Kind of lovely sometimes to swear.
Yeah.
Sometimes want to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Is that necessary? No.
And Brogan does not like it. I think Brogan's from that world. And you know, when I first, I've told the story before, when I worked with Paul Reiser, it's like 30 years ago now.
Right.
Some comic was there. I was working with Paul, but some other comic was there and mentioned something along the lines of, right, but Paul, to get on TV, you got to work clean. And Paul said, here's my advice. You're in the club, swear. When you're on TV, you don't.
Easy.
It's that fucking simple. It's like, and that stayed with me because, like, are you that dumb?
Yeah.
Like, of course. And if you're going to audition for the Tonight Show, don't swear during that audition.
I did an audition where I accidentally swore, and I said, clearly, I have sworn. When I'm on, if you book me on television, I promise not to.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And they did. They put me on.
Of course.
And it was a weird Nickelodeon mom thing.
I remember that.
I'm not a mom. eventually they had to book people who just had moms. Like there were some people that were men. They weren't moms.
That's right.
Mr. Mom. I'm just ripping
now.
They
got Keaton.
Remember, do you guys remember that McDonald's gave away VHS tapes of Mr. Mom back in the late 80s?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Was that just an idea your dad had?
No. It was the weirdest McDonald's thing. It was VHS tapes of three movies, and one of them was Mr. Mom.
It was three movies. Like,
yeah.
Well, wait.
Yes.
I think they did that with Mac and Me, because I think they produced Mac and Me, right?
Or yeah.
Some weird tie-in with McDonald's and Mac.
Oh,
very possible.
Yeah.
Very possible. All I know is that I remember getting the VHS for Mr. Mom and going, well, I guess I'll watch it.
Good movie. That's a pretty...
it's a good movie.
I would have expected the free movie from McDonald's to suck, but that's a really funny movie.
No, that one's... I don't know. It's an OG You've Got Mail. It's got the same kind of quality and a little bit of trouble there. I mean, there's a little bit of like holding up wise, but we civilization moves and we
can't look at old movies and everything through today's glasses or else we would hate everything.
No, and civilization has moved so quickly since VHS itself.
Sure.
Telling me VHS is no longer viable?
no longer viable, still for sale if you ever make it rural Wisconsin. If you ever end up doing a show for no reason in Verona, you knock yourself out. You get yourself some VHS. There's still a buck. They should pay you to take them. It's not good.
Jackie, you're from the Milwaukee area. Have you been to that new the Comedy Tap? Is that what it's called?
Laughing Tap.
The Laughing Tap.
Yeah, great.
You've been there. You like it?
I do like it. I like the people. I like the audience. The only and I've and they know that they know I've said it every time. Drop the ceiling.
Ceiling's too high.
Ceiling's too high. Guess what? Turns out it's cost prohibitive. So not at this time.
Oh, so they're not, it's not even in the cards.
Well, not at this time. I'm sure if they ever have an extra 60 grand, they'll do it. But it's just like my, and the only reason I say it, again, my father is like, I'd come and see you there, but it's echoey. I can't hear, he's 87.
Oh, he doesn't like the echo.
Yeah, it doesn't work with his hearing aids.
When you said your dad had feedback, I thought it was going to be about like joke structure, but he's like, get painter's hats and change that ceiling height.
Oh, nothing about structure. He's like, the jokes are fine. You slow down. When I bought a new car, I had an old joke about a car. And he said, you should keep that joke about the car, though. That's funny, even though you got a new car. And I said, yeah, it'll be fine.
Audience doesn't know about the new car, Dad.
Right. I won't explain it to them at length that I have a new car. But this other car, no, that'd be... I saw some stand-up last night, and funny, but one of the it was newer comics. So one of the things that I find fascinating right now with some of the newer comics, and this was a woman who had just started, but she was probably 40, 45. And it was very storytelling-y.
Mm-hmm.
And the punchlines was kind of gentle, the punchlines. So it was getting laughs, but they were kind of like, oh, yeah, that's funny. And because she was also quite new, but it was her stage presence was amazing. Like her confidence. Like I still don't have that confidence. I'm just like, no, tell 19 jokes. Make sure everyone's got a couple for the car that they can think back on and go, yeah, yeah. And so... But it was fascinating.
You're like a grandma sending them out. Like, do you have snacks? Do you have enough? Do you have enough jokes for the ride?
Leftover jokes. That's not a bad idea.
That might be. Talk to your dad about it. Market it. I will say that going back to the painter's hat, as a guy who worked in record stores in the 80s, painter's hats were as popular as the concert T-shirts because they would have like Wham or Duran Duran, and everybody wore them, and they cost, at the time you'd go and you'd buy
pennies.
You couldn't afford a shirt, so you'd buy a painter's hat for $5, and you're representing REO Speedwagon.
Right. Mm-hmm. You got to get an REO Speedwagon.
So a comic, I could see in people were not doing merch in the late 80s,
no.
But a painter's hat would have been, to your dad's point, I could buy, these are less than a dollar each.
Yep.
And I could sell them. The markup is unbelievable.
Yep.
And it's a souvenir.
Mm-hmm. It's a souvenir. I opened, Maria's doing this new joke that made me laugh.
Maria Bamford?
Maria Bamford, friend of the people. I came up with a merch idea. Maria doesn't want merch. She doesn't want any part of it. She does some drop ship merch. Where she's like, if you would like a T-shirt with my name on it, there is this print on demand or this whatever. Yeah. You could go get a merch.
Okay. She does not sell after her shows.
No.
Or even when she does a theater, she does not have a merch table.
No.
That she is not a part of.
No. And when I open for her, I do. And I make bank, you guys.
Because they're coming out looking for the Bamford stuff. And
yeah.
They got a vacation.
They want a souvenir.
As a joke, I made this merch idea that I thought for her, she doesn't want any part of it.
Right.
But I don't know what I ended up, I couldn't just get one to give to her as a, so I have like 250.
Oh, that seems like a jump. Here's a joke one, and then you got a minimum of 250.
It's a $300 joke. It's a $300 joke.
Well, you're making bank. You're bragging about this bank.
Yeah. Well, here's what I can do, though, is that maybe I sell them after her shows.
All right, so what are they?
And then we donate the money to somebody. Hmm. Anyway.
Why can't you keep the money? You bought it.
I could. All right.
Make your money back.
Hang on. Maria doesn't want the merch.
Hang on. The raccoons upstairs are playing soccer.
It's pickleball upstairs. Yeah. Okay, so it's just the joke is about how she has these financial advisors, which are just a bunch of ladies who are very, very practical, who say things like, do you want to go to Tampa? Well, you get an envelope and you write Tampa on it. And then every time you have an extra dollar, you put it in that envelope. You're going to go to Tampa. So I printed, because my grandfather used to have this weird plastic coin purse.
Yeah.
The squeezy plastic. So I just printed Tampa on it, MariaBamford.com.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I think that's a great thing to say.
Right.
They don't call it, yes.
No sizes.
Easy. They're easy to travel with.
Yeah, everybody.
Exactly. If I may.
Right.
It's the perfect after show souvenir.
Merch. Right. And then you can give me $5. You can give me $10. I don't even want to
ten
charge.
Ten seems high, if I'm be honest with you.
Right. I think that they, but I.
But
so
five's a win.
Yeah. Right. Just throw some in the bucket and then, you know.
She's leaving money on the table, Maria Bamford.
Oh, constantly.
Well, here's the thing. She can, just to get them out of your garage, just say, hey, I'm going to sell these at the shows and we'll just give the money to fire victims
or
whatever.
Yeah, fire victims or somebody, yeah. Like some sort of pro-immigration.
Something nice. Yeah.
Use this. We're getting the proceeds.
Yeah, good. Definitely use that word.
Well, I think I get to keep the $300 that I spent on it.
You shouldn't lose money on
it. You're schlepping them somewhere. Maybe you're shipping. You get to keep all that.
She's going to dip her beak.
There's some handle. You dip your beak.
I get a taste. That's what my brother Phil always says. Yeah. You getting a taste out of that? You get a little. And I was like, oh, you're killing me. Anyway.
Back before I turn on that Kevin O'Leary on Shark Tank, he would always say, I want to dip my beak. And it was the first time I ever heard it. And the way he said it, just so tickled me.
it's a funny thing to say. It's also slightly gross, but I don't know why.
It is gross. Well, because he knows that it's not his beverage. So he's I want to dip my beak in your beverage.
Yeah.
And,
which is unsanitary.
It doesn't feel sanitary.
It also sounds sexual to me.
No, it's a bird going to sipping from a puddle.
The dipping is the part.
Well, the bird,
I get it.
No, he gets.
He's not dipping his wick.
Well, that's why it's too close to that.
That's why. That was a big phrase.
Hello and welcome to Wick Talk.
No.
Nope.
No, I don't think it's grew any further than that. I don't know if it's a segment.
Let's go deeper on wicks.
What's with the Italian colors today? I've never seen you in Italian colors.
Are they Italian?
It looks like
you're getting ready for next Christmas. You're getting in early.
It is a little Christmassy. I don't know. I saw this. Facebook's got my number, right? So I see this hoodie, and I'm like, yeah, I'm buying this. I'm buying this hoodie.
I like it.
Yeah, but it is the Italian colors. Well, who doesn't like pasta?
I love pasta.
People love pasta.
Thank you for recapping.
I'm like AI over here. You'll say something and then I'll just. Have you noticed that on Google, the first thing is the AI?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's helpful. Like, you know what?
Sometimes
it hits the four beats you need.
It's accurate. Yeah, yeah. It's accurate. And then, but then I always scroll down just to go, were they right?
That's my thing. Yeah. I don't trust it yet.
Yeah, or I don't
know. But when it tells you it's four good things, then, and dolphins also like it. Wait a minute, what? Why are dolphins involved now?
Throw that out. That's not pretty. Yeah.
I do like that they throw a little link there. So if you want to fact check their thing, you can kind of do it.
All right.
I'm not
fact checking. I need the info. Give it to me.
Well, I just want to go to the real links.
The original link. Yep.
Yes. And then see what they've summed it up as. And if they've summed it up as exactly the same as the AI, scroll back up.
Pardon me.
Because then there's bullet points and it's done.
Exactly.
How do I go to settings? General settings? All right. Turn it down. Okay. So.
Jackie, can I ask a question? Are you pulling your own hair out of your head at the moment? What's going on back there?
I have an issue right now with my shoulder. I don't like this chair.
Oh. What can we do?
Not a lot.
Okay.
So,
but what don't you like about the chair? Do you need a back support?
I feel like it needs to be higher up.
No, so, it can't be that.
Because it's my posture.
It's probably but then more this, that.
It is always my fault. It's true.
Do you want to lean in? Like
what
this?
What can we do for you? I am very concerned about you. What can we do for you?
I don't think there's anything. I think.
Right, quit fiddling with that. That's first and foremost. Secondly, what can we get to make you comfortable? I want you to be comfortable.
Well, there's
have a
not
a lot of options, honestly.
I know.
Every chair is occupied.
I'm very helpful, but I don't have nothing.
I mean, that chair is only going to take you in the opposite direction.
Yeah,
lower.
That's going to sink me down.
Yeah.
It's
very beautiful.
That.
I see you have a Shakespeare pillow.
Yeah.
It's an Elliot pillow.
Oh, it's an Elliot pillow.
No, it's Shakespeare, but it looks enough like Elliot that somebody sent that in.
Right.
My hair used to be, yeah.
All right. I see.
Yeah.
You went with
doesn't it look? That looks like it does.
A little
look
bit,
like.
little bit
yeah,
of
look
Mario.
At the, look at the picture
at the
above
picture
it.
There, yeah. Look right
that's
above
back
it.
When his hair was like
oh,
that.
I see. Yeah, that does nail it. That's it.
Even the sleepy eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot's a poet in the same way as Jeff Ross. It's a reference from 1997. Remember when Jeff Ross used to do poems?
Yeah,
that used to be his calling card. Right. Now he just shits on things and calls it a roast.
Right. It's weird. It's I'm never going to be a fan of a both sides comedy thing. It's I as much as I like Colin Quinn as a person.
Yes.
My mother-in-law was watching Colin. She was watching specials.
Mm-hmm.
Hours every day, 4 or 5 hours a day.
She enjoyed the stand-up special.
Wow.
Yes, and I think she was trying. Somebody said she was trying to bond with me. I wouldn't. I don't watch. I see a lot of stand-up. I'm good, but I was in our room. Our house is very tiny. I'm in the bedroom. All of a sudden, I have to get up, walk into the living room, go, no Colin Quinn right now.
Oh,
and just because he was doing a both sides are the same joke, and I was like, I don't want to hear that right now because it feels. Yeah. Inaccurate. And just write a punchline and I'm good. Did you get to see Deborah DiGiovanni's Fallon the other night? Did you dip your beak in that?
I didn't know about it. I will go look it up.
I like Deb quite a bit. I'll look it up.
Oh my God. Very funny. She went to rehab. And,
wait, what?
She went to food rehab.
Oh.
And she said something about how they woke her up at 5:30 every morning. And she was like, I wasn't addicted to sleep. And then she had like three other amazing punchlines to do with that. But I recommend it highly.
Awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Originally from Canada.
That's right.
She's one of the great Canadian comics.
Canadian. You know what? There's a lot of good Canadian comics.
Yeah. There's a couple of crummy ones, too.
There's crummy everywhere.
There's crummy everywhere, but they don't usually make it this far.
Right? Usually we stop them at the border.
We stop them at the border. they get tripped up in the paperwork.
Yeah.
There's some sort of problem.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, we stop everybody at the border if my boy gets his act together here.
Oh, yeah.
Things
any
are
minute.
Going to go in the right direction here. It's going to make this country great again.
Yeah, I'm working on the new album, and I was going to make a trilogy of albums.
You're going to put out three new albums at once?
No, the last album I put out was essentially a lot about COVID and lockdown.
I see.
And it was called Staycation because I was home.
Right.
And my last name's Cation.
I guess.
And so there'll be a
Jackie Cation.
Right. There'll be a pattern. Now, it was initially going to be called Altercation because I was dealing with a lot of anger issues and I had 15 minutes about anger. And during lockdown, turns out when you're not hanging out with anybody, a lot of your anger issues just kind of go away. And so I kind of dropped it and it turned into the lockdown episode. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking of I'm, you know, I'm surrounded by humanity again. And so I have new bits about anger. And I was thinking of resurrecting the name altercation.
I love it.
Yeah, I like it.
And then I don't know what the third one.
We need a third cation.
Clarification. Yeah. Deification. I don't have no idea. Okay. But I don't know that I'll do it. I don't know that. But I'm going to record in June or July and film.
All right.
Nobody's offered to pay for that filming. So again, I'll be... I'm looking forward to it.
I am forever mystified by your career, and I mean that in a positive way, in that, in fact, we had a guest in here, a woman, last episode, Joe McGinley was here, who was a woman that's involved in the improv world.
Okay.
And I told her that you were coming in and that she had never seen you, and I said, you should, because Jackie's one of the best comedians working today. And
I appreciate
it. So I am mystified that you do not have somebody paying for your special, offering you a special. I say this when Jackie's not around. Mm-hmm. You are one of the best working, and you deserve to be treated as such.
That.
And
yeah.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. I can't. Lori says it's because I can't remember anybody's name. She's like, people are not flattered by you. And I was like, I have that face thing though, and I mean 600 people a year. But she's like, yeah, but Michael Cox is a important. And I was like,
is he?
But I don't, he seems like a nice enough man.
Does he?
Well, he's always been nice. You know, when she said his name, I didn't, here's what I think
he
is
books
the
Fallon,
most,
right? That's the film. Does he?
Yes. Yes. And I thought his name was Jack.
Oh,
anyway,
no, you said hi, Jack?
No, no, not to him. But Lori brought him up and I said, that guy, Jack? And she goes, nope.
but all right. So her premise of you don't remember people's names, Michael's not aware that you don't remember.
Nope.
Only Lori knows you call them Jack.
Right.
Also, if I may, Jack Cox is not a good name.
No, that would be bad.
Michael Cox is all right.
Michael Cox, better name. And here's my defense of the fact that I don't remember anybody's name or face. Or
okay.
I meet so many people. And the other thing is if somebody says your name and I remember kind of who you are and I don't have a bad feeling about you, that's the most flattering thing that could happen in the world, don't you think?
I yes, mean, yes.
Right? Well,
let me get them, but Jackie, I'll say this.
Say names to me and I'll say things like, nope.
Tony.
No, full names. Like you said earlier, Jeff Ross, and I was like, ooh. that was all I had.
Right? All right. People always, when I don't remember somebody, people always give me, they hand me the excuse of, well, you meet a lot of people.
Right.
But I'm going to argue the other way. Now, you say you meet a lot of people. We all meet a lot of people.
Everybody meets a lot of people.
Right. So
some
how
people
can
are
that,
better at it.
Yeah.
Some Jimmy, people are better
Jimmy
at it.
Jimmy is freakishly good at it. And it's,
yeah.
it's really.
In fact, it infuriates me when I do not remember somebody because I am good at it.
Yeah.
So when I don't, it's like, how are you right. the one person I don't remember?
Well, and here's the thing. They may be right. It could just be, I don't care. Enough. And that's, of course,
that's
rude.
Offensive to them.
Yes,
yeah.
That, they're not wrong.
Chris D'Elia.
They're right to be.
Not okay, that
right.
guy.
Again, I'm just throwing names. You asked me to throw names.
Right, right, right.
I'm
that
trying to find the names that we're all right. on the same
There's
page.
Trouble there. There's trouble there. But, you know, you say Kamau, I'm like, oh, that guy. But I don't know that I could pick him out of a lineup. And why is he in a lineup? Black man? Is that what just happened? not nice.
He's got a pretty distinctive look.
He does have a distinctive look.
Who
he might have a slot.
W. Kamau Bell. He was just on Celebrity Jeopardy. I saw him on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was just on something else, too. Somebody just mentioned it.
By the way, when I say just, I think I watched the first of, there's probably 100 out there now. I don't know when it was. It was January.
Right. Like, I don't know who gets a slot. And quite honestly, my grandmother's been dead for 20 years. Why can
drop
I still
it.
Picture her?
Yeah, drop
yeah,
it.
You don't know her name?
No, I got her name. I just, and I can still picture her. But, I mean, maybe Michael Cox should have got that slot.
Right, slides into the grandmother's
yeah.
slot.
Yeah. I want to pull some, like, random comedians that aren't around anymore that we all sort of knew, like
Scott
that.
LaRose.
I didn't know him.
All right,
Carl LeBeau.
I was going with Matt's idea. Carl LeBeau's from yeah. Canada.
Is he?
Well, he's the guy that opened up for Kinison for a while, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he's from Texas then.
Texas. He's a Texas.
Who's the guy.
Guy
from Canada that was? Everybody used to rave about. He was from Windsor. I want to say Canada. You would have worked with him a bunch, Jackie, like in the Yoder days.
Huh.
Oh, what was his name? I don't remember.
Well,
who do you got, Matt?
Sari Karplus.
Got nothing. I don't know who that is.
I bet you met her.
Well, that's the thing.
I think that's too deep of a...
No, too deep.
For Jackie.
That's a pretty
deep
cut.
Going to the long boxes? All right. Which is a deep cut in itself, just to say that out loud.
Is that, is that for CDs, long box?
No, comic books.
Ah, see, I don't know that.
Yeah, that's how they're stored. If I read... Now, here's something that's offensive that nobody wants to hear, including my husband. If I read comic... If I bought and read comic books, I would throw them out. He puts them in plastic bags and then has a filing system.
Yeah, so, but aren't some made to read and toss?
They were originally all made to
read and toss.
Right. Yeah. I think that the ones that I would only keep the ones that I like I do with novels.
The ones you like.
The ones I like. Mm-hmm. The ones I don't like, I throw it into the Goodwill thing. Or if I didn't like it at all the way out.
All the way out.
Gone and gone.
You don't even want to risk somebody else reading it.
No, I don't want... I, as far as I'm concerned, that person gave me a paper cut. I don't want any part of that novel being having my DNA on it.
And not only that, but you're doing somebody a favor because the person who does like that, there's one less of those, which means that the one they kept in their little plastic thing is worth more.
Oh right. Right. I was trying to buy some there was a new an R where we have the pull list. They were out of, I couldn't find, we bought number one and for some reason the pull list didn't get number two, so now we have number three. And if you're a completist,
what comic?
FML by Kelly Sue DeConnick. I'm forgetting what FML stands for, but it's actually very funny. And
not
story.
Fuck my life.
It might be. My is life it really? Is fucked. It might be. Yeah, I think it's fucked my
is that
life.
What FML stands for, mm-hmm. like in text?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I believe that's exactly.
That's where it all by the way, my embarrassing thing, it took me about minimum six weeks to figure out what OF stood for.
OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I would read it in sentence because AOF is also
of
outfield.
oh, yeah.
And then of. But it's like, well, I know it's not going to be outfield. Yeah. So what is it? And it would be like, they have the best OF around. I'm like, OF, old fanny? Old. Like, I couldn't figure out. Like, and then finally, OnlyFans. And I got to be honest, it was the best OF.
You know, it just occurred to me, this upcoming... it might be this very week. A couple of weeks ago, there was a Dork Forest that I thought that you could have done this Dork Forest. And of course, anybody can do the same topic of the Dork Forest over because everybody's got a different angle.
Right.
But it was Kimberly Clark, stand-up comic.
Yes.
Liner notes. Because you guys were just talking about vinyl.
She's a nerd for liner notes?
She loves liner notes.
Kimberly Clark does.
And devastated, well, or not devastated, but irritated at the very least about digital release.
Yeah,
because there's
no
liner notes.
Yeah.
I think the first time she was on our show, I think it was on Zoom during the lockdown, and I feel like we saw albums on the wall behind mm-hmm. her. Am I remembering that right?
I don't know. Maybe, people's names.
It might have been somebody else. Yeah, you got the names. I got this mental image of, and then we talked to her about how she loved.
You are ratemyzoom.com, right? Isn't that you, where you would rate people's That's backgrounds? Right.
Yeah, that was a separate spinoff show that we would do, yeah.
What I see Kimberly Clark every now and then. It's you know what I see Kimberly Clark with Flappers.
Yeah,
and the show is always Kimberly Clark emceeing, Jimmy Brogan, and Jay Leno.
Right, she gets to host for on the regular for him. Mm-hmm. She also does some other. She'll get spots over there, which is nice. What did I do?
I don't know, Jackie.
I don't know. Could have been anything. I've picked up a lot of sort of hat stores and barbershops lately here in L.A. just because I'm working. What I've got is I've got about 40 minutes that are done of this album. All I can think about right now is this new album.
You don't say.
You know when you announce that you're going to you know in your head that you're due to do a new album, mm-hmm. and then you say it out loud and you're like, oh shit, now I have to do it. Mm-hmm. And so now that's all I'm thinking about.
You're 5 months out and you got 40 minutes. You're fine.
Oh, I'm so fine. But except for that, what I'm going to have is 75 minutes, and nobody wants that. Nobody wants a 75 minutes.
Well, then you
minute.
Edit. That's easy.
Well, and Kilmartin's like, well, you save that 30 for the next.
That's what
like,
I would do, yes.
No, I'm bored. I'm going to be bored with all 75 minutes by the time I record.
What about the barbershops?
That's where she's going up.
You're performing at the barber. You're working out this 35 at the barbershops?
Yeah, I'm working up the new essentially, I'm trying to figure out what to name the damn thing.
Barbershop.
So, barbershop, hat store, right? Laundromat.
Yeah, just call it where you're at.
What? Just
shaving a haircut.
Shaving a haircut. Maltons. You know, wherever you go, get yourself...
Yes.
You dash off somewhere.
Where are you? Wait, tell me about these barbershops. they move the chairs out of the way? How they set up folding chairs? What
they
happens?
Do. Don't tell. Don't tell comedy. We'll often do stuff at like a spin, like a where there's a bunch of bikes, so they got to move everything. And I'm like,
where won't you do comedy? What do you say no to?
I know.
That's a legit question. What would be a no to you? Because you and Lori and Brian Kiley, apparently you
parking.
Can't go a minute and a half without doing stand-up. What do you say no to?
I say no if there's no parking.
Okay.
And I will say no if it's in Santa Barbara for less than $500. Like
that's fair. I'm talking locally.
I'm not driving. And Lori will drive. She'll drive to Santa Barbara for like a nickel.
Well, I'm not doing that. I'm not going for less than $500. I got to play by the Cajun rules.
Right. Well, and you are correct to do it because you deserve that kind. We all do. Santa Barbara, that's where they print money.
They have money.
Somebody tried to send me to Dubai to do, she's like, it's only 3 shows, but it pays $1,000.
No, but no, thank you.
No, you print money in Dubai and you want me to fly coach? You're out of your freaking mind.
Crazy.
Yeah. So I was like, you can keep all of the money and fly me Emirates first class, and I'll do it just for that plane ride.
You would do it for the plane ride?
Just an Emirates first class? Yeah, yeah. I would.
That's like
and even though I don't drink.
It's like going on a cruise, but it's in the sky.
You would do 3 shows in Dubai just for travel.
For first class Dubai Emirates, have you ever flown Emirates?
No, I've not, but I think that's a fair trade off.
Yeah, so
it's 2 hotel rooms basically because it's 20 hours, something like that.
It's 20 hours, and I believe the staff has to give you an orgasm before you get there.
They do it in the terminal?
Yeah. Wow. No. On the flatbed.
Up in the air.
Flatbed. Up in the air.
Okay.
That's part of the hook.
I see.
That's a very convincing.
I know that Jennifer Aniston was advertising for them for a while. I did not. I was just assuming it was out of my price range, so I never paid attention.
I believe it is.
No,
it's out of everybody's price range.
It's also going places
ten grand,
you're not going.
I'm going if they're paying. Listen, if they're paying $1,000 for 3 shows, I'm in. That's horrible. That's horrible money to go to Phoenix.
Yeah.
By the way, for those that don't know in stand-up, that is that's great money for some, and it's horrible money for others.
Right.
There was a time where if you told me you're giving me $1,000 for 3 shows, I'm doing a dance.
Right. Right.
And that time was last week.
Right. There's low headline money. There's standard headline money. This is how I break it down when people ask. There is sort of mid-level headline money, and then there's really good headline money, and then theaters. So I'm at sort of the mid-level thing where I also get good in places where I draw. Like I can draw in Denver. But so I get really good money there.
What makes you draw in Denver? Why is Denver a specific city that you draw well in?
Isn't that weird? There is a comedy radio station that plays my albums 24/7.
Yeah, whoa.
People recognize me on the streets.
Oh in Denver? God.
In Denver,
Denver
Colorado.
Has its own comedy radio station?
On FM radio. And it actually moved 2 dots, so my draw is down because it moved to, it's like it used
it's
to
like
be 97.8, but now it's like 97.6, and people cannot figure it out.
Well,
and that's
why would
not
they?
On me. Well, I don't know why
Seems
it changed.
It's a crazy thing to change.
So anyway, you're a big fish there.
I'm a big fish there. I'm a normal fish everywhere else.
I see.
So, so to say, like some people, it's $800 for the weekend, 4 shows with hotel and no air. So the next, sort of the basic is $1,200 hotel, no air. And then it goes up to about $2,300, $2,500 for the week of the weekend with air and hotel. And then it goes up to like $5,000 to $10,000 a weekend with air and hotel. And then it goes up to theaters and stuff.
And of course, your mileage may vary. It's
Right. And it's anywhere
in
between
and
those
the credits.
Things.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, credits matter. Number of followers. Get this. I quit TikTok.
You're off.
And then I can't get the app again.
Yeah.
And guess who wins? Me. I'm the one who wins. Even though I had something like, it was a gross number, 144,000. That's a math joke. Okay. So
Elliot loves it. Elliot's never laughed that hard in the history of the show.
He loves his nerd stuff.
He likes counting by 12s.
Sure.
So I couldn't. So I decided that I would do. So that I wasn't gonna. I got off when they said that they were gonna come back if Knob Job cared, right? And I was like, all right, I don't want to be part of this.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I guess we're all back on. And I tried to get back on, could not get back on. And everyone's like, do this workaround. I was like, no, this is a win that I don't have to. And I know some people love it so, but they're going to have to find me somewhere else because I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Do you think your audience was finding you from the channel? I guess Leanne Morgan found is that her name or is that a country artist?
No, that Leanne somebody. She's like the middle-aged lady who from the South.
You almost said old.
I almost said
and
old.
And I think she may be younger than us.
I think so. I think she is.
Actually, I think she and I are the same age.
I was going to say older, but that would make us older. Yeah. And I think I am older, but oh my God, Andy went for a run the other morning.
Andy Ashcraft,
friend of the people, video game designer, and I went for a run in our neighborhood and ended up bringing home a woman who had been half passed out on the street. She was very, very, very drunk, and she could not remember her address, and she could not remember and her phone had no juice. And so he walked her back to our house.
I may have taken her to a public place, but go ahead. I'm listening.
It was a lot. And because he walked in and he said, hey, I have a project and I need your help. And I was like, what is it? He was like, no, project's a person. Come on. And I had to stand up from the computer and get her some coffee and a ham sandwich.
You brought her into the house.
And plugged in her cell phone and then 45 minutes, an hour later, drove her back to her apartment, the three of us. And he was like,
wow.
Right. And Andy was like, aren't you the one who says help the people in front of you? And I was like, yes, I believe I did. And so there we were.
I think I would have helped, but I think I would have brought her to a public place. Or I don't know if bringing her to my home was a good idea because she's drunk and maybe memories may not be great. And then all of a sudden there's a lawsuit.
Or we have a new roommate. I didn't know what was happening.
You don't want that either, right?
But I will say that she was surprised as they were walking back to the house that he was married. Mm-hmm. She was surprised that he didn't want to have sex. And because I don't know if you've ever been drunk enough to just be all of a sudden led somewhere and you're like, I don't have a lot of agency here. I don't know what's about to happen.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's why I would have gone public place so that there's no confusion.
Right.
Or just have, like, maybe call you and say, can you come here
and help
with a charger or a battery?
He didn't have his phone.
Oh, okay.
He's on a run. He doesn't listen to music.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't approve of wearing headphones. Safety mouse. Andy Ashcraft, safety mouse, rule follower. And,
oh, wow.
Though not a rule follower, like I think that I like to believe that he would hide Anne Frank, and I think now we know he would. And, and now we know.
If she was
that,
drinking.
And well, and we're about to find out. But here's the scoop is so he. Yeah, so we plug it in, but she kept saying to me from the first as she sobered up slightly,
mm-hmm.
You have the best husband.
Oh.
You have, and I said, it's true. He's a good egg. I think we know that he's the best. And then it took a weird twist around 40 minutes in where she then turned to me and said, don't be jealous that he brought me home.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no, we're good. He's rarely been attracted to the stumbling drunk. That doesn't mean. And we also made an agreement several years ago that we would discuss it if he decided to be attracted and act on something. So, but it was crazy. She was what was she? Yeah, she was crying at one point.
Oh,
and this has a point of the aging part where she was kind of crying and she was like, you know, I'm not a prostitute. And I said, no, of course not. And then it clicked in and I was like, not that that's a problem. I mean, clearly that's steady work.
Yeah.
I'm not here to say that work isn't work. And she was like, and she just looked confused. She was a 35-year-old woman from the Ukraine. She's lived here 14 months.
Oh, my goodness.
But she was like, you know, I just, my boyfriend, he kicked me out of the car. And so, and it was noon on like a Monday.
Yeesh.
And she was so drunk, still drunk when we dropped her off
at
her apartment. But what I realized about my age is that there's actually nothing more soothing than this.
Yes.
Than this sort of aging lady. And where she was like, I said, oh, we've all been drunk on the street. Don't worry about it.
Well.
And she said, you? And I said, oh, yeah, a couple DUIs. It's good. Don't sweat it. And
did you give her a CD so she could hear the stories?
Give her a painter's cap.
Give her
tiny wallet.
A squeezy wallet.
A tiny squeezy wallet.
Josh Wolf.
Josh, oh, weird. Mixed reviews.
Right.
I can't picture him. Can't think about him. Not remembering any of his jokes. I'm sorry, Josh Wolf. Not a good sign. Don't know what to say about
him.
But
you remember the name.
I remember the name.
See, she said just about names.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to find these off the wall, kind of out of nowhere
names.
That
was a good one. That was a good one.
Right, right, right. But like even famous comics, like when you say somebody, and I'm just like, oh, I don't know. And but the, yeah.
You love comedy.
I do.
You don't know anything about it.
I know. I think it keeps me honest, though. Because then I don't, like, I just saw Chad Daniels, who the only reason I know Chad Daniels is he's a generation under me from Minneapolis.
Yeah. And he's terrific.
Oh my God, he is. The talk about a guy who should be famous.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's doing fine. It turns out that guy
is he doing okay?
Oh, he's doing great.
Okay.
And he recorded 2 1-hour specials back to back, different hours. Wow.
Pardon me?
Whoa. In Madison, Wisconsin, one theater, one night.
Where's he at? The Pabst?
The one that's next to the Comedy on Stage.
I don't even know if there's a Pabst. I just said it because I wanted to say something quick and fun.
That sounded Pabst Theater. Believable.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Where's that? The Pabst? I think there is one in Madison.
Yeah,
the Pabst.
No, there's one in Milwaukee.
Oh, that's where. Okay.
That's it. And so 2 1-hours. I don't want to ever do that. Just because.
Why wouldn't you? You don't stop talking. And I mean that in a complimentary. You could do 2 hours. Tonight, somebody could say, Jackie, come to our theater and do 2 different hours, and you could do it. So what are you talking about?
Well, because I want the 1 hour to be done. Like, I want it to be sort of, not perfect, but like perfect. And then I want to work on the next hour. But to do 2 hours, I feel like it'd be a little sloppy. And guess what? I'm wrong. Because people want to hear 2 works in progress, or where it's 80% done. 2 1-hours that are 80% done,
yeah.
They're like, you're a genius, which Chad Daniels is. Chad Daniels is a very gifted comic.
You're throwing around the word genius.
Well, if you think about it, you only have to be a genius once to be a genius. You don't have to do it again.
Okay.
So
he's very good. I am not putting. I think he's terrific.
Oh my God, the clip that he just showed. I think it was too topical for him to not post it because it was a Luigi joke.
Okay.
It was about how. Everybody was, you know, he's like, you'll talk to people and they'll be sad about Gaza and the Sudan and Armenia, Ukraine. He didn't mention those other two because nobody ever does. But so he's like, people are like, no murdering, no murdering, no murdering. And then this guy Luigi comes in and then he pretends to be in a marching band and does a trombone thing. That's very funny as he marches around and how happy he's. And then he goes, but then you think about the Luigi guy and how much research had to go in to finding this guy. To kill him, right? I mean, he had to LinkedIn and then find addresses and then find workplaces and then travel and then buy some sort of animal gun and then figure out his schedule. And then when he finds him, if he's still on hold with his insurance company, I'm kind of there. You know, and it was this, but he does it better than that, obviously.
No.
Hard to imagine.
No, that seemed tight. That seemed well thought out.
Right. So, like, but 3 years, 3 years ago.
That's when you started that story.
No kidding. It's another good one. I was called Karen a couple of months ago.
Yes.
And so it's my new closing bit, but it doesn't have a final punchline.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm going to hat stores and you know,
and barbershops.
Oxygen tank bars and whatever, you know, whatever.
IV drip shops.
A nice, I have a tattoo store.
Good.
I'm doing a tattoo shop in Hayward, California. You guys, hold your applause.
Where's Hayward?
It seems to be north of here.
Okay.
But it doesn't pay very well. But for some reason, I wanted to do this. You ever want to do gigs?
No.
Period.
Stop the sentence. Finish, please.
It's a weird run sort of around San Francisco. I never get to play San Francisco. For some reason, I am Christ-like in San Francisco. My miracles don't work. So in my hometown there, but it's not my hometown. But I'm doing Hayward, Sacramento, and Hayward, Sacramento.
What about our Sunnyvale? You've certainly been to Sunnyvale a number
Sunnyvale.
Of times.
Sunnyvale. That one's still booking me. That one, but that one's not. It's Bay Area.
It's Bay Area, yeah.
Right. Still an hour 15 if you live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was talking to the guy who books these weird, they're weird one-nighters. And I'm like, so what, do they pay $1,000 each? And he's like, no. And I was like, why am I doing this?
Well, you're doing it anyway, yeah.
But I'm doing it anyway. So there's always a weird draw with stand-up where it has to either, the money has to be so great. You ever get paid to do a corporate that you're like, the reason they're paying me is so that I don't talk about the things I want to talk about. And so you have to go to the vault and you got to come up with all this material. I did something called Sheetz's. Sheetz is a 7-Eleven chain in Eastern and Southeastern United States. There's thousands of them or hundreds
of them. I've never heard of them.
Me neither. And but they do a resort kind of thing for anybody who's worked for the company more than 5 years.
Okay.
Every 5 years you get to go to this weird place in the woods and eat steam table food with your employers. It's very nice of them. And then they have comedy in a room that's lit like this.
Okay.
And the round tables, so it looks like you're at a Lutheran pancake breakfast event.
Yes.
And you've got to do 45 to 60, and it's got to be squeaky clean. And you're like, well, that should, thank you, $15,000. That's what I deserve. And if it was Leno, it'd be $250,000.
Right.
And, but that's one gig that I will do. If it pays enough,
mm-hmm.
where I don't get to do any of the jokes I want to do. And then there's a gig like in a Thursday in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where I'm going to have my notebook up there because let's lower the stakes.
Yeah.
And so these people, they've come to see stand up. They will be entertained. But I'm going to work on some stuff. And that's what this Hayward.
I see.
So, and it doesn't pay as well. But
Craig Anton.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's okay. In real life, he's a close talker.
Oh, really?
That's what I get. Can't picture him. Blonde?
No, he's a tall
guy.
He now teaches theater in Kansas?
I forget where, but yeah.
Bendy? Does he a yoga guy?
No.
All right.
You would recognize him. He was a good comic. He was a very good actor.
Yeah,
right?
He did a lot of acting.
Then he became an acting coach here, and now he's an acting teacher at a college somewhere.
Oh, good for him. Good
yeah,
for him.
He and his wife got out.
Pension?
He's got a pension.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
He's doing very well. We wish Craig Anton and all acting instructors the best of luck. You know mm-hmm. that, Matt.
Sure.
Jackie, I had another question for you regarding travel, and I forget what that is. Eliza Schlesinger.
Oh, roommate, last comic standing. I could pick her out of a lineup.
Okay.
I was, for some reason, I did last comic standing 3 years. You know why I did it? They kept lying to me. they kept telling me I'd be in the top 10 and that it would be good for my career.
Yeah.
Guess what? Both lies.
You never got to the top 10?
Never got to the top 10. I will say, Eddie Pepitone said the funniest thing. The last year I did it, they asked me to do it the following year, and I was like, no, we're done. Burn me 3 times. I guess I could be taught. They picked Esther Koo instead of me, and I was like, oh, I get it. And then, because Esther Koo, by her own admission, doesn't have more than 3 minutes of clean material. And the last time I ran into
really?
It. Yes. But Eddie Pepitone, he also did not get picked for the top 10. And as he walked by, he looked at me and he goes, do you feel like we just dodged a bullet? I feel like I just dodged a bullet. So I was like, kind of, except for I'm told that this is supposed to put butts in the seats.
Yeah. You may have wanted that
primetime cash.
Yeah.
Credit, yeah.
So,
yeah, I think Eddie's trying to make a lemonade.
That's it. And so, but Eliza, the first season, I was roommates with Eliza with the semifinals, because that was one of the things that they made you roommate with people in a hotel room.
Wow.
To create tension. And
wait. So this was not when you lived in the
pre-top
house.
Pre-top 10.
This is pre-top 10.
Yeah, this is the semifinals, I guess.
And who was the host of that? Was it still Jay Moore at this time, or is it Anthony Clark?
Yeah, one of those two guys.
Okay.
Both of those two guys, I'm not getting a good vibe off of that. I don't remember those two guys are like, that's a lot. And though Jay Moore, I think, Tumblr, Rock Tumblr, Shiny guy?
Well, I don't know what
he was on SNL. He's got blonde hair. He's
okay.
Married to the in the woman who inherited the Lakers empire.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, shiny. Okay, so I think of him as just sort of...
He's a very funny man.
Smooth. I think of him as super smooth. Is that
I don't think that's our guy. He's kind of a mess.
Okay, he does, that'll happen.
What's his impression?
He does Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken. He's a great Christopher Walken impression.
Even Kevin Pollak credits him with being the originator or the... Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
He's a funny, talented dude.
That's great. Okay.
I mean, he may have gone fucking nuts, but I mean...
I can't remember who the host was. All I remember is that first season, Gary Marshall and... a guy from SNL were the
judges.
The judges.
Oh, Gary Marshall, really?
Yeah, Gary Marshall, who said a very nice thing about me.
What did he say?
And they, of course, they said you are very talented.
And what did they do? How did they edit that?
They took that right out.
Not important.
And, not important because everyone would have said, well, then why isn't she in the top 10?
100%.
Because Gary Marshall liked her. So instead, Tim Scott? Who was in...
I don't know.
We may never know.
There's no one named Tim Scott anywhere ever.
Ever. That name is just
not
a
person.
That's just a name.
I believe Tim Scott is that black representative that Trump led to believe it was going to get a role in the administration and then dropped him as soon as he won.
Whoops.
Yeah, I've got my black vote. Scram.
That guy was kissing his ass. I think, embarrassingly.
That guy's such an asshole.
Right. And I think it's Tim Scott. I would like to apologize to whoever I am talking about. And because he was, he is also black. He was a black man who was on SNL, who was one of the judges.
Oh, Tim Meadows.
Meadows. Tim. I got Tim.
You got Tim.
Tim Meadows is a good guy.
Feel free to jump into my DMs and tell me I'm an asshat. They cut to him just asking me where I was from. So that was the year that my roommate was Eliza Schlesinger.
All right.
The following year, I couldn't do the semifinals because I got married. And they told me the wrong dates for the semifinals.
Oh.
And I had already planned my honeymoon to Italy. And I was unwilling to reschedule.
Rightfully so.
Right. The following year, I was in the semifinals. And my roommate was Nikki Glaser.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So early 20s blonde women, we're going to stick them with Aunt Jackie. And Eliza Schlesinger, I don't know if you saw that season of Last Comic Standing. There'd be no reason to. The only reason I did was...
you were on part of it.
I was on part of it, but I think I just saw it because Eliza Schlesinger, she was slightly maddening. And they picked on her so hard.
What? The judges or the other
the
comics?
The show. There's every level of the show picked on Eliza Schlesinger. She was picked for every head-to-head, almost every head-to-head of 12 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it was. And she had to... And she told me that she had like a, not acid reflux, but she always wanted to throw up. She got so nervous.
Mm.
And she rose to the occasion every time. And went head to head and beat every single person.
Interesting.
She earned she won, I think, that year.
Right.
And
you feel she earned it.
Oh, my God. I'm not saying that she is not, she was pretty grumpy. And no one should be grumpy to me. What's to be grumpy to?
You're saving drunk ladies in the street.
Right. I'm a little outspoken. I guess you could be grumpy about that. The fact that I'm just going, nope. I don't know about different comics.
I can see Eliza going, I just want to sleep, Jackie. I don't need to know about your gig in Sheboygan. I could see her saying
You ever
that.
Been to the Bratfest? Oh, it's nice.
I've been to Sheboygan.
Sheboygan Bratfest. It's real nice, you guys. You get a chance.
Wait, isn't Gary Marshall also from Wisconsin? Isn't that his thing? All his shows take place in...
Long Island.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
why was everything set in Milwaukee?
I think
then?
Because it was... I think he gave an explanation as it was a safe place to...
Just middle America. Just
USA.
Yeah, got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's because he did Laverne and Shirley and all
Happy
those.
Days, yeah.
Yeah.
Happy Days.
Monday, Tuesday.
Happy days.
Sunday, Monday, happy days.
Happy days.
Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. The weekend comes. I skipped ahead a little bit.
Heaven comes. Have
Cycle
some fun.
Comes.
Doing that thing for you.
Dun, 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 dun. These days are out.
Happy days.
These days are out.
There's Arnold. Baby.
Hey, it's time for this, Jackie.
Let's do something.
And watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I'm going to do.
I'm ready for it.
Not bad. Not bad. It wasn't perfect, but not bad. All right, we say hello to Garen Cockrell. He's over here. Garen sucks, of course. He's over there at the Pop Culture Beats Info Desk. Jackie Cation is there. Now, Jackie, we're going to ask you to guess at some point a drama that begins with the letter W, but you were going to go third. So hold your answer for now. Hands are up.
Holding.
Hands are up. Jackie is in the holy pattern. Garen, what's going on?
Doing my thing.
Well, there we go. There's the Garrett Cocker we know.
Doing my thing.
Just the vaguest of answers. Doing my thing. Don't even
plug and play. It's a podcast.
I don't think I know what that means.
You know what? When you walked out to give Jackie the paperwork, I said. I had a follow up question for you because you were I forget what you were talking about, but I do remember the follow up question. You were talking about when you worked for
for Walt Disney company.
You're talking about being on playing it's online games, and this ties into because you're a fan of games and your husband makes them. Are you playing Marvel Rivals?
I have played Marvel Rivals. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of Overwatch, which is it's kind of like kind a based on it, yeah. Overwatch. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I'm not as into it as everybody else is.
Yeah, I tried. I didn't really like
it's
it.
It's too clunky, slow for me.
I'm hearing it's too thummy. Is that something you're hearing?
Marvel Rivals is it's a online multiplayer. It's
okay.
It's like Overwatch. It's not like Fortnite, but it's a similar in terms of you all jump into a thing. But you get to pick a character from the Marvel Comics universe,
that's
which
fun.
Is fun.
Yeah,
you could run around as Black Widow if you want. And
could I pick Captain America?
Yes, mm-hmm. He's available.
Which one? Which one?
The one that's in the game, yeah.
Okay.
It's the...
The one that loves this country.
It's the white one.
The white one?
The white one.
Thank the white, you, the straight white male guy?
Yeah,
straight
thank
white
you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not this new one. people's heads are going to explode.
Yeah, they've got a pretty wide variety, but not
a
everybody.
A lot of cool characters
They're going to add more in the future.
Could I be Submariner?
Not yet.
That's DC.
I don't think he's in there yet.
No, I think he is.
Maybe
Namor, yeah.
That's not DC.
I think he's in
Is Namor also called the Submariner?
Yeah.
My apologies. Oh my God! Take away my nerd credit card.
I know three things, and one of them is Submariner.
I play Marvel Puzzle Quest, which is a match 3 skinned Marvel phone game.
Right.
I've been playing it for 10 years.
Yes,
and they have gone so deep into the long boxes of characters.
Oh boy!
Speaking of Black Widow, hello.
I see it. Hi.
And so, like, you could be Dr. Bong if you want. Remember Dr. Bong?
I don't.
Boing.
I don't.
He was his head was a bell. His head was a bell. I think he was a Howard the Duck supervillain.
Oh, that's funny.
Bell.
The weirdest character in this game is what's the guy's name? Is Sean the Landshark or something?
Jeff
the Landshark is in the game.
Are you reading the Jeff comics?
No, okay, right. I wasn't aware of him.
He didn't know the character's name 2 seconds ago.
Yeah. Oh, right. I'm sorry. I'm reading the Jeff.
Is it good?
It's okay. It's adorable. Jeff, he got possessed by the Venom symbiote in the last.
Oh my gosh.
It's very silly.
Yeah.
There's actually a very funny one shot with. There's a new character called Spider Boy, and it's Spider-Man's sidekick from a parallel universe who ends up in the 818, the 616.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a one shot with Spider Boy and Kid Pool, who is a Deadpool child who's mm-hmm. a foul mouth and has a Nerf gun, and she's pretty great. That's a great episode.
All right, we got back to Garen Cockrell. Garen, a movie that begins with the letter W, drama.
I got one. And it's the first one that came to
mind.
That's
all you need.
It's probably, you know what? I'm going to be positive.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
What Dreams May Come.
What Dreams May Come.
You may want to go back to that negative thought.
Who's that with?
What Dreams May Come.
Yeah, who's in that?
Is Andy Garcia in that?
It's Robin Williams,
Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like Robin Williams.
Is it Annabella Sciorra?
Sciorra, perhaps. Sounds plausible.
All right, well, while you look that up, we'll check in with the gentleman from the Vowel House. That's
Hello.
Elliot Hochberg. Elliot's got a pocketed tee on today.
Yes, I do. A ribbed pocketed tee.
It's a good-looking tee.
I like it.
But you felt that it wasn't fitting you properly because the back, the... It's got a stretchy sort of collar back there that was folded maybe in the bag incorrectly.
So Garen had suggested that perhaps because I get so many things from Ross, yeah. sometimes Ross gets factory seconds of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Seconds and irregulars.
And then I wondered if perhaps that collar was not supposed to be on the back, and in fact it was assembled incorrectly, and that's the reason why it's sort of backwards.
I don't know. I think it looks like I think it looks snazzy. I think it's just folded oddly.
No, I'm with Jimmy.
I got a spoiler.
I think they meant it to be back there.
Yeah, I think it looks like it meant to be there, back there, but it might have to be ironed.
Yeah.
Oh,
it looks like it's supposed to be like a mock collar.
Right, it's a
like
t-shirt.
It comes up just
it's
a little,
like just to, for the listener. It's not a collar like a collared shirt collar. It's like the t-shirt, the little part of the neck of the t-shirt. The back of it is like a different material.
Yeah, it's two colors, and I saw myself in the mirror. And I thought, did I put my shirt on the wrong way around? But no, the pocket's in the front.
Yeah.
Pocket's never in the back.
No, you don't back pocket.
I mean, maybe there's a style where somebody does pocket back.
Yeah, was it Kid and Play? No, Crisscross?
Crisscross.
Crisscross. They'll make you jump.
Yeah. He's whacking something in the back. And...
All right, what's going on?
So, for the first time in, I think we calculated at a decade, I had, I guess I'll call it a rehearsal. Sort of a fun afternoon with the old band, Toasted Head.
Toasted Head got back together
boy.
For a rehearsal.
Yeah.
And there's talk now after the rehearsal of playing out live.
Well, there's talk of doing it again. So
the rehearsal.
The rehearsal. So, I mean, you could just rehearse. There are people who do that because that can be fun. But I would imagine that maybe one time anyway, we'll get out there.
Are you guys doing the same music that you did back then? Or maybe now that you're a little bit older, you're going to a different genre?
Genre is going to stay the same.
Which is?
Our guitar, it's sort of classic rock style.
Love it. Originals, covers.
Originals. There may be a cover.
Throw a couple of covers so that people are entertained.
Sure. But what's interesting to me is that like there are a couple songs that the guitarist who wrote most of the songs likes. He doesn't want anything that's straight ahead. That's easy to figure out.
Mm.
He wants things that are difficult. And there are a couple songs that you know. Oh yeah, that was the song that was hard because it starts like right at the top. There's no downbeat or whether it's fast or whatever. But then there are some songs that. Either I wrote or I improvised the lyrics while they were jamming the music, and I forgot how hard those ones are because the timing, again, isn't just straight ahead. Like, there's pickups and offbeats and stuff like that.
Do you have recordings to remind yourself how...
Yes.
Okay.
We do have that, but, like, it was one of those things where I only had a certain amount of time to listen to things, and I listened to, like, the first, you know, 30 seconds, like, oh, I remember that one, and then...
And then you didn't.
And then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there any talk in this rehearsal of changing the name of the band?
I wonder how married we are to the name, but I also wonder if it's worth the effort of coming with another one.
It's worth it.
What's the name of it?
Toasted Head.
Toasted Head. Now, Matt's theory is that you have to cut it loose.
I don't care if you're only getting together occasionally to jam. You need to change that name.
If I may.
Toasted Head.
He's not wrong.
I mean, so the story behind the name, and I'll make it short. Is that originally we didn't have a name. We went to it was a Frank Lloyd Wright guest house where the house hadn't been built, which by the way has burned down, and there's a whole story about that I won't go into. Had nothing to do with us, but whatever. So a guy comes
suspicious.
Up.
The fact that you went out of your way to say it had nothing to do with
it. No,
with
it
you.
Is suspicious. And it's weird.
So hold on, sorry, we had nothing to do with it. We had nothing,
nothing
to do with it.
I said
don't have time
nothing.
To get into it, but we did not have anything to do with it. I promise you that.
Did I have to bring it up? I did not.
No. It was shaped like a pyramid, which was cool. But anyway, a guy comes up to us after we played our set, drunk. He says, hey, you guys are great. You want $3? And I thought, we're the $3 band. That's it. We're the $3 band.
That's it.
Somebody had given us as a present a bottle of wine by the brand Toasted Head, and I was outvoted and we became Toasted Head.
That's two things that need to change their name then.
Yeah.
Why is that wine called it?
Well, it's
terrible.
It's called Toasted Head because apparently there's a type of aging that you do where you
fucking care.
Where you burn burn the barrel. You toast the head of the barrel.
That's a $9.99 wine.
It's a $10 wine. It's not a $2 chuck.
Aim higher. Call yourself a
$3 band.
You know, if I would have had Diet Mountain Dew, I wouldn't be having these problems.
I don't know if anyone noticed. Luckily for us, the heat just kicked on.
It just kicked on.
And it's now 4,000 degrees in here.
Very dramatically toasty. Changed.
It's like toast. We're toasted heads.
Yeah, we're toasted heads.
Maybe that's why.
Getting to us.
Yeah, right. What is it? It's
that says it's 76 degrees up there, but
it was 62 when we got in here.
So late afternoon.
Why was the heat not on?
I don't
know. All right. Go ahead, Elliot.
So anyhow, so we had a good time. And
I love it. Where do you guys rehearse for something like that? Somebody's garage? You get a rehearsal space?
We got a rehearsal space. The guitarist who's organized the whole thing, he's got a relationship with... oh, man. I want to say one of the co-owners is somehow indirectly related to Led Zeppelin.
Oh.
A drummer whose name escapes me. John something.
Jason Bonham?
No, he's like, he was like the rehearsal drummer for them, maybe?
Oh.
Or something?
Well, John Bonham was the gentleman that was in the outfit, and then he died. And
yeah, that's not
his
him.
His son is now a very, I have said on this program, I believe is a better drummer. But nobody will hear me out because that's sacrilege. Yeah.
Well, for the Jimmy Pardo listener who knows classic rock, this guy is a redhead, like as redhead as you get. If that means anything, Led Zeppelin, redhead guy named John, and I can't remember his last name. But anyhow, he's associated with this rehearsal studio in Reseda. And so we went there.
It's in the valley. Were you able to get past all the dojos?
I mean, I did have to fend off a couple of karate kids. Karate children.
Attaboy. There's the improv skills of Elliot Hochberg.
You know what? I was trying to figure out whether I should say ninjas or not, and then I
you could have went Cobra Kai. You could have gone specific.
Sure.
Boy, my friend. He gets so mad at that show because it's supposed to be karate. Yeah. And he's like, they're not doing karate. they're doing capybara and whatever the hell else it comes up with. And I'm like, you took... a month of Taekwondo classes. Jackie Chan. What are you doing? It's so stupid. Visibly upset over it. Yeah. It's so stupid. Like,
we all get mad at certain
That's
things.
Shaolin Kung Fu. How dare you?
I got mad at a guy at a furniture store. So, I mean, things happen, guess.
Yep.
Elliot, what's your guess for the drama?
Sure. So I'm going to go, what would Jimmy Pardo pick?
What dreams may come?
How about The Whale?
The Whale with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go speaking of the Valley, Encino Man. Was he in Encino Man?
Yes, he was.
Very good.
What do you think about that reference?
He was the titular Encino Man.
Yeah.
Jackie, you're next. W drama.
I went with you said a drama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I went with a musical.
Okay, that's not going to match.
Is it a dramatic
musical? Could be. It's dramatic.
Well, then that's...
What do you got?
Still.
This face tells me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
West Side Story.
I mean, that's a dramatic musical.
Spoiler alert, they die.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
They also dry because they get wet at some point.
They towel off.
Sure. Matt Belknap.
I'm going to go with, I know you love rock and roll, Jimmy. And this is one of those rock biopics. I'm going Walk the Line.
Walk the Line.
Oh, my gosh. My brother loves that movie.
I think it's good. I remember liking it.
Walk the Line. Is that with the Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon, and I think an award-winning role.
Give us the fans quickly. All right. It is 5-3.
All right. I'll just rush through them then.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Welcome to the Dollhouse. Remember, we all thought that was a great movie for a year.
Welcome to the Dollhouse. We got fun and games.
This movie blows.
Watership
it's
Down.
It's going to be a dark comedy.
Watership Down. The Rabbits.
Yeah.
The Shining Wire.
Yeah.
I read the book.
Me too.
Yeah. It's not a comedy.
It's a bummer. Yeah.
No, it is not. It's a real drag.
Wag the Dog.
Wag the Dog is a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
It's a good movie as well.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Not me.
Never be afraid of her.
The aforementioned The Whale.
The Whale. That was your guess.
Yep. Where the Wild Things Are.
Great movie. I don't know if that's
what
true.
About
I enjoyed it.
Baby Jane. What about
that's another
whatever
one?
Happened to Baby
whatever
Jane?
Happened to Baby
yeah.
Jane.
That's a good yeah. Yeah.
I don't know this movie. Maybe. Wind River.
Wind River.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, yeah okay. With what's his name? That guy. I think he was in Deadwood. Great actor.
Oh man, is that a great movie? That's a great movie. I saw that in Salt Lake City by myself at a matinee.
How about The Way? Did you ever see that?
Didn't see that in Salt Lake City.
You could have. It was about the Jesus.
Oh,
who's Emilio Estevez's dad?
Martin Sheen.
Thank you, Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez. Emilio Estevez directs.
Oh, maybe I'll see it then. I like everybody involved. So
it's actually a beautiful movie.
Jeremy Renner is in Wind River.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And Jeremy Renner.
John Bernthal. He's also in
Oh, my God.
No,
is he good in that?
I might be thinking of a different movie.
I don't like Jeremy Renner, but boy, he's good in that movie.
Oh, that's interesting.
Go ahead.
All right, two more. Wolf of Wall Street, The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
sure.
That's a good movie.
It's
we
really
all
good pull.
Pound our chest at one point.
And then finally, and this came up in conversation this last week for me, Wild Things.
We were talking
about movies that are terrible until they're good.
All right, here we go. Here's my five, and then we'll see if we have a winner. I'm going to pull up my notes. Here we go. Number one. Is one? You're not going to go first?
Yeah, what?
number five, Whiplash.
Sure.
Oh, not my time.
Whiplash, not my time. Remember,
we said it
the
wrong
amount that we quoted years. That, misquoted on this show. Mm-hmm. Number four, Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number three, now Jackie landed on this, but whatever happened to Baby Jane in the three hole?
Oh, there you mm-hmm. go.
Number two, War Games.
Oh,
nice. Oh, I had that too.
That's too action-y.
No, action was fine.
Action's okay.
I would have thought
okay.
maybe sci-fi, but
it's not sci-fi. It's no, War Games.
It could happen.
It's an AI computer.
Warriors? No. I would have guessed
come
Warriors.
Out to play. Well,
you didn't, no, would you have guessed Warriors? Because yeah. you didn't.
Because you didn't.
I didn't. Well, I
you
would,
said
but,
West Side Story.
That was an action, but that's because
it's not going to be Warriors. You hate Warriors.
And Warrior. All right.
Number one. A movie that has come up way too often in the last month on this program. Warriors.
Oh,
no, dude. You didn't no, you match.
I didn't. I nope.
You get nothing.
You hate Warriors.
Jackie says, and I quote, Warriors. I would have guessed Warriors, but you didn't.
You had your chance to do it, and you chose not to do it.
Well, that's because I felt like it was an action movie.
That's not an action movie. No. Have you seen it lately? That thing's a slog.
But also action.
Nothing happens.
Action's not comedy or sci-fi or fantasy.
Yeah, or fits, horror.
I thought this. You said no action.
No,
I said drama, action, adventure. That's all.
I thought it had to be a drama.
Oh, I'm sorry. Absolutely.
He said a little less talk, a lot more action.
A lot of singing and then some dying. That's what I went with.
Yeah.
The singing dying
mm-hmm. yeah. section.
Shakespeare.
Very similar West Side Story and Warriors, both New York gang stories.
Sure. Yeah. When you're a jet.
One of them's entertaining. And the other one, you can't believe you're still watching it. Hey, Garen, next week is X, but we hit the partomizer. I believe it's the letter D.
Yes.
All right. So letter D for next week. I still have the con. So yes, drama's sir. Letter D. Her name is Jackie Cation. You can find her at JackieCation.com. She's got tour dates all over the country. I say this with when she's around and when she's not around. She is truly one of the best stand-ups you're going to ever see, and I mean that sincerely.
I appreciate it.
She's got her favorites, and she'll try to convince you it's not her. But I think Jackie is one of the five people that are top five working today.
Do you think her favorite comic should be herself? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that she'll say, oh, Pshaw, go see Maria.
Right.
And I'll say, yes, Maria's great, but I'm with you. I'd rather see Jackie Cation. And that's not an insult at Maria at all.
Yeah. No. I would say go see me. And I would say go see Maria. I would say go see Chad Daniels.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't have two off. The Stuart Lee, if you could find him, but you got to go to England.
I'm not doing that.
All right.
We beat them in a war, and that's the last I saw of them.
That seemed like a great opportunity for you to return the compliment and say, Jimmy's great to see you. No,
Jackie does not care for me.
He's not working.
I have some dates coming up.
Oh, do you?
I do, yeah.
Oh, thank God. I thought you said that you didn't want to do it.
I've got three in April.
And on this particular program.
I've got three in May that are rather they're crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
All right.
And then it'll be three more at the end of May, maybe three in June. See, here's what's happening, and then we got to go. Oliver's graduating,
yeah.
And Oliver's starting college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of that means
what?
When? Yeah, right. When do graduation things happen? Mm-hmm. Is there going to be a vacation before he goes away to college? And then what college is he going to go to? And then when does that begin?
Yeah.
When do we have to move him in?
Yep.
So June to September is going to be weird.
Yeah.
Almost like you can't plan anything.
You don't know what's happening.
Right. So I can't say, I'm going to book these three gigs. And then, hey, Dad, that's the first day at college. You're supposed to be moving in the 2 days. So
yeah,
we're in a weird little spot.
Instead of crying outside of a dorm, you'd be crying on stage in Minneapolis.
They don't need to see that. They've already seen that. Acme's already privy to that action. Go see Jackie Cation. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for supporting the program. Don't forget, next week, it's D for drama. D stands for drama. But the pop culture B stands for Garen Cockrell. He's right over there behind Video Village. Look at him from the Vile House. That's Elliot Hopper in the house. We've got up our great friend, the great Jackie Cation. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, gone, not forgotten.